Just a heads up, the Razzball podcast might not be for all audiences. You have been advised.
Hi, it's Nick. So usually I sit down and try and scribble a few notes for the intro on Sunday night. You know, trying to put together my thoughts that make sense from what I watched that day. Well, this week, I have no idea where to start. I kind of feel like I'm Neo from The Matrix, but I swallowed the wrong pill. I mean, everything just seems kind of reversed. Cam Newton looked like Colin Kaepernick. Kaepernick looked like Jake Locker. Locker looked like Aaron Rodgers. And Rodgers looked like Ryan Tannehill. I could go on, but you get the idea. And I didn't even get to the wide receivers. I'm looking at you, Josh Gordon, Santonio Holmes, and Kenbrell Tompkins. Luckily, we're all optimized over here. We finally got our full lineup healthy and ready to go for the podcast this week. JB and J. Rong will be in to discuss what they saw. Murph will fill us in on the medical report. And Sky will tell you who to go grab on the wire. Whoever thought there'd be a day we were your normal? From the DraftKings.com studio, it's the Razzball Football Podcast for the third week of the NFL season. Here we go.
Show might make your muscles start to spasm. It may even cause some of you to orgasm.
It's the Razzball Podcast. You need fantasy help.
Well, we think you prefer us. We rock the mic so hard we should ride in the tour bus. Make you shoot all down your leg like your Plaxico Burris.
It's the Razzball Podcast. It's the Razzball Podcast. It's the Razzball Podcast. It's the Razzball Podcast.
It's Razzball, baby.
The Razzball Podcast.
Pleased to be joined, as always, with my man, JB Gilpin. You can follow him on Twitter at JB Gilpin, GILPINJB. Welcome to the Razzball Football Podcast. Let's talk about what you saw yesterday in the National Football League.
Long live the Panthers! Woo!
All right, we got a lot to get to today, JB. So real quick, your Panthers did destroy the Giants. Good for you. David Wilson still sucks. Okay, the regular jokes are out of the way. We really do have a lot of notes to go through this week. Real quick here, JB. RCL, what happened yesterday?
Well, the top scorer this week, we got the Feverish Beavers. Top scorer through Sunday, led by my boy, Cam. And then the big night from Antonio Brown last night. So he's the leading scorer heading into Monday Night Football, but he's done, and he's up 75 against the Cuddly Penguins. They've got Peyton Manning, Wes Welker. You believe in miracles. They need 75 points. Could be a close game, but good job, Feverish Beavers.
So what we're going to do now is we finally, like I said, got everyone ready to go for the football season. We're only a couple weeks late. So you will be covering the NFC notes. So we are going to be touching on players from the NFC. Real quickly, the Panthers yesterday, I will give you a sec to plug Cam Newton. Are you feeling comfortable with Cam rest of season?
I am. I think I was too excited for him. I remember I called him like QB2 behind Rodgers in ranks. I think that was maybe a bit bullish, but feel a lot better about it. And, you know, other guys, I mean, Brees is obviously looking good, but, you know, the Kaepernicks of the world, yeah, we'll get to him later, but he missed a few throws. I believe he was something like 15 for 27. I'm not looking at it, so that's off the top of my head. Defense looked incredible. So I think the Panthers will be closer in games too, keeping Cam throwing and running, and he looked great when he got the ball in space as well. So he looked really good.
All right, Brandon LaFell looked decent, but I mean, he's still not a guy I'm rostering.
Yeah, I agree. I think they benefited from a lot of single coverages on LaFell and on Ted Ginn Jr. Steve Smith, minor hip injury, but was still out there almost every snap. I think he only missed maybe, you know, four or five plays. So it's still Smith who you want to own, and he's obviously not going to be consistent just because it's not the most consistent offense giving touches to the same people. D'Angelo Williams looked good, though, so he's been a good buy low if you got him in draft.
Okay. We're not going to talk about the Giants because there's nothing to talk about other than the fact that if you do own David Wilson, there was a little bit of glimmer of him being somewhat useful. He had a couple good runs called back on penalties, correct?
Yeah, he had a 15-yard run called back on hold, and then a 20-yard touchdown where he busted it to the outside and just beat everyone, again, called back on a hold. And even as a Panthers fan, the hold on that touchdown looked really ticky-tacky to me. So even I'm going to be buying low. If I can trade someone that, you know, I picked up that's hot or you know, drafted really late, I think even I'm going to be buying low right now. He looks good in a couple plays and just unfortunately called back.
Okay, one player in the Green Bay game that obviously we have to discuss is Jonathan Franklin. Other than the bad fumble, what did you think?
I thought he looked good. Looked really fast. He's still a little small, so I think when Lacy comes back, he'll still get a few touches. If Starks misses much time, I'm not sure about Starks' status, but looked good, looked fast, has some upside. If Lacy misses next week, I think Franklin's a consideration for a flex play.
He was almost cut in the preseason. Would you use your waiver wire or spend some fab on him, or do you think once Lacy's back, it's too much of a crapshoot?
I would, especially if I'm a Lacy owner, because, you know, Sark's going down. I mean, they have nothing left there. Maybe they'll pick up a free agent as well. That's also a possibility, but you know, if he didn't have that fumble on 4th and inches, we'd be talking about no question you go for him, just because that was such a pivotal turnover that kind of swung the game. I wouldn't blow it all, obviously, but I think he's got some upside and a guy you can have on your bench, and if Lacy misses another week or gets hurt down the road, I think Franklin's worth money.
All right, Cowboys and Rams yesterday. DeMarco Murray looked fantastic. Are you going to hold on him, or would you sell high based on his injury track record?
I'd probably sell high. I hate DeMarco Murray. If anyone's owned DeMarco Murray in the past couple of years and then went against them this week, oh, they were throwing stuff everywhere. They're like, come on, Rams, what are you doing? And I think he had that huge breakout game like 4 or 5 years ago against the Rams where he rushed for 200-something. But, oh, I guess sell high, but I don't have him anywhere. I'm not trading for him. I don't trust him at all, which is very unfortunate if you played against him this week.
I thought Miles Austin would be more valuable at this point in the season. What are you seeing out of him?
Yeah, I did too. I had him as a start in my last second decisions article. I thought this game would be closer. I thought Sam Bradford wouldn't be terrible. I think just because the Cowboys got up, I saw one pass go through Austin's hands. They just didn't really need to pass anything because DeMarco Murray was doing everything. And I still hold on to him. I don't think he's really a buy low, sell high. I think you're just holding and playing him if you don't have better matchup situations.
And what about all the Rams offensive skill players?
Yeah, well, Darryl Richardson hurting his toe in the first play. that killed pretty much everyone that had to play him because of injuries. Like, I'm in one league where I have Ray Rice and Steven Jackson and had to play Darryl Richardson because it's a 14-team league as well. So, I mean, I didn't really want to, but definitely had to. So that was a killer. Sam Bradford just didn't look good. I still like Tavon Austin a lot. He got at least a couple catches if you play in PPR, and at least Jared Cook got some jump time work. But overall did not look good. Not really excited against playing against them with the 49ers on Thursday night this week. I think the 49ers are going to need to show something, and it might be to the Rams' detriment.
All right, we are going to get to the 49ers and what they did yesterday, but real quick first,
the Carnage Report.
This is Murph, and you can follow me on Twitter at ThatMurph, and this is the Carnage Report from Week 3. C.J. Spiller exited Sunday's game against the Jets and did not return. It's being called a knee injury, and the situation is something that Spiller owners will want to monitor going into the week. If Spiller does miss time, Fred Jackson would be an immediate contributor with an increased workload. Andre Johnson had a concussion coming into the game, but then left with what is being called a bruised shin. X-rays were negative, according to Kubiak and team sources, but for me, it's something to monitor because Andre Johnson's inability to stay healthy for the first few weeks, it's concerning. Steve Smith left Sunday's game when came down hard on his hip, but, you know, tough Steve Smith returned shortly. It is something to monitor, though, again, because of his age. We're not sure how this injury is going to affect him long-term. Vincent Jackson left Sunday's game against the Patriots with what's being called a rib injury. Jackson owners should be concerned not only because of the injury, but also because Josh Freeman's sudden case of amnesia as if he completely forgot how to play quarterback. The Packers cannot catch a break. Tight end Jermichael Finley went down in Sunday's game with a concussion. His return was unlikely, and his status going forward is unknown. Also with the Packers, Eddie Lacy went down last week, now James Starks. The Packers have had zero luck when keeping their running backs healthy, as James Starks went down with a knee injury. If neither him or Lacy is cleared by week five after the bye, rookie Jonathan Franklin is a must-own in all formats. The infamous hamstring in Dallas, belonging to Miles Austin, flared up again on the game Sunday. His status is unknown, so proceed with caution with Miles Austin. Some guys to monitor going into the week: Rob Gronkowski, hopefully he practices and gets out there. Roddy White and Larry Fitzgerald have kind of burned owners recently, and I want to see something from them in practice before we get them out there. Also keep an eye on running backs Maurice Jones-Drew and Ray Rice recovering from injuries. And also Brandon Whedon, but he might have lost his job after Hoyer's performance this Sunday. A few players just to forget about for now: Percy Harvin, Danny Amendola, Steven Jackson. These guys should be shelved for the long term. That's the Carnage Report from Week 3. This is Murph. Have a good week.
The Razzball Podcast.
Speaking of injured players, Reggie Bush did not play, so Joik Bell looked really good for the Lions. Is he a flex going forward, JB? I mean, once Reggie Bush is back.
Yeah, even if Bush is back, I don't think they give Bush, you know, boatloads of touches while he's easing his way back from injury. I think Joik Bell still gets those kind of goal line opportunities. He can do everything Bush does, so there's no way I don't see him splitting touches the next couple weeks unless Bush shows us something ridiculous. And even so, I still think they'll look at his touches. So good play for a good while.
Now, in the 49er-Colts game, that was, you know what actually that reminded me of? One of those 4 o'clock games in San Francisco that mattered against an emerging team kind of brought me back to my youth a little bit. It was a better football game than the fantasy implications. But give me your thoughts on Colin Kaepernick, where he's at, and is he going to be, let me put it this way, if Colin Kaepernick is your quarterback this year, can you be competitive?
Yeah, I still think so. I think, you know, he showed one huge week, was terrible, and then now terrible again. I'm worried, but not hitting the panic button. What was funny is I needed a huge game from him, and his first pass was this little 5-yard out route, and he missed the dude by about 6 yards. And I was like, uh-oh, this is not going to go too well. I'm still holding strong. I want to see a good game at the Rams. I know it's going to be a tough environment, but at least it's indoors. He's had some good games there. He had some big runs in that stadium as well, so I'm holding tough, and I think he'll still be a top 10 quarterback.
The Vikes-Browns game was interesting, more from the Browns side, and we'll talk about that in the AFC notes with Jay Ron coming up. But from a Vikings standpoint, I think the only takeaway there was, you know, you got Adrian Peterson, and I know he only had 2 catches yesterday, but if for some reason Cordarrell Patterson is still on the waiver wire, I'd go pick him up because they're desperately looking for anyone other than AP to be a playmaker on that offense. And, you know, Patterson, he's raw, but he's so skilled. I think he's one of those raw players that if they can figure out how to get the ball in his hands, he could be useful this year, especially with bye week starting to come up.
Yeah, I totally agree. 2 for 49, you look at the targets, and I mean, I don't see Jerome Simpson getting 8 targets to Patterson's only 4 as we progress through the season. Greg Jennings has shown he's obviously not going to be that receiver he was with Green Bay. I agree with you. I actually picked him up in that 14-team league I was talking about earlier. I think he's going to start getting some goal line touches as well, just to get something going. And Christian Ponder gets the runs this game. No, he doesn't need a modium. He ran for touchdowns. I think he gets the ball to Patterson more. I agree.
Okay, the Falcons, Roddy White, you still can't start him. And funny, Snelling was getting the work in the passing game yesterday, and Jaquiz was getting the carries. What are your thoughts?
just like you were saying, it's a weird Freaky Friday kind of Sunday. Just doesn't really make sense. To be fair, Snelling's receiving touchdown, I think, was a little shovel packed. So that kind of, eh. But obviously the opposite of what you'd expect. I think they split carries. Obviously both were useful this week, but I wouldn't feel great about starting either one of them this point forward.
All right, then just real quick, obviously everyone thought the Seahawks were going to blow out the Jaguars, but you had Russell Wilson as a bench this week.
And I said it, and I put my money where my mouth is, and I played Phillip Rivers over him in one league. And it looks good when Rivers had a touchdown in, like, the first quarter, and then I saw Russell just go. I mean, a couple of the touchdowns were to tight ends really close to the goal line. Surprised that Marshawn Lynch didn't get the goal line scores. It was a rough week on that one.
Okay, JB, listen, I love chit-chatting with you. I wish I had more time for you, but we got a jam-packed show today, so we're going to move on. But let's end with the Daily Fantasy Report.
The Daily Fantasy Sports Report.
Brought to you by DraftKings.com. Of course, you can follow them on Twitter, at DraftKings. JB, how did you do this week over at DraftKings?
More brutal stuff. Oh, it was a rough one. I really like Tyler Eifert. I thought he was going to have a big game against the Packers. Had one catch. Pretty much no one. I had Kaepernick as my QB play. That was brutal. It's a pretty brutal week. Luckily, there's still next week to win my money back. I can wipe that team clear, unlike my other team where I have Kaepernick as my starter. So that's why I love DraftKings. This team is complete. Ready for next week.
Absolutely. And again, the best part about DraftKings, especially for fantasy football, is you're planning your rosters all week. You're looking at matchups. Who do I start? Who do I sit? This gives you a chance, no matter who you've drafted on your regular team, you go into DraftKings.com, you play in a tournament 1 week, put in a couple bucks. You can put in as little, I think actually you can get in for as little as 25 cents, but they got big buy-ins too. And you go up against everybody in that same tournament. And it's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun, plus you can win cash, which is always, who doesn't like winning cash?
I was in the bottom, like, 4% of my teams. I think the only people that did worse are people that picked an entire Giants roster.
Well, you know what's happening, too, now? With the bye week starting to come up, this is a great time to go out and play DraftKings, because this is a time where a lot of guys emerge, and that's where your chance to win the real big money is when you're calling someone who no one else has. So, for example, everyone down on Dave Wilson, maybe next week he has a huge week. Kidding. But it's a really good opportunity now. So get in there. If you haven't tried DraftKings, real simple to do. Again, it's an American-based company. This is not, you know, some Nigerian prince trying to reach out to you. These guys are out of Boston. DraftKings.com. Follow them on Twitter, at DraftKings. Lots of great tournaments every week. Also, too, you can play college football. If you're a hockey fan, by the way, JB, real quick, hockey preview on Razzball Hockey coming up. That'll post this week. Big surprise there. But on DraftKings, hockey, basketball, college sports, whatever you're into, JB. Even the weird shit you're into, buddy.
Yeah, well, I take advice from the Nigerian prince these days with DraftKings after this past week.
All right, JB. Thanks for joining us on the Razzball Podcast.
Thanks, man. Thanks for having me.
I am now joined by Jay Wrong. You can follow him on Twitter at Jay Wrong. Jay, welcome to the Razzball Football Podcast. How you doing, brother?
I missed you. It's been years.
We missed you too over here, buddy. You know, it's funny. So we had JB on discussing the NFC notes, and we're going to get to the AFC notes right now with you. But, you know, JB came and he's got all these bullet points, all these notes, and there's like 42 things on this list. I'm like, we got 12 minutes, JB. And then Jay Wrong is like, two lines. I think you just like to give me the opportunity to talk about your dating life or the art gallery you're opening up in Old Town Alexandria.
Yeah, I always expect us to talk about 80% non-anything fantasy podcast related. So that's what the blank space is for.
So you date any hot girls right now or what?
Yes, actually. Well, I'm dating one crazy girl, which is maybe something I need. So I don't know if it's exclusive, but yeah, you know. It happens.
The crazier, the better.
Yeah.
You know, my uncle taught me something once. This is a true story. Never stick your dick in a girl with purple hair. That's great wisdom from my Uncle Dan.
Dude, your uncle's like Ben Stiller from that Starsky and Hutch remake. You know, he's like, do it, do it.
That's my life. Do it. Do it. All right.
Yeah, we gotta let JB know the secret. Don't make any notes. Just have a dating life like me, which is pretty much non-existent, and have several mental problems, maybe. I don't know.
No, but see, JB's all about hustle. He's prepared. He's ready to go. He's made improvements. You and me, I feel like we're drinking coffee somewhere.
Yeah, I'm drinking coffee now, but I think that's the problem. During football, I don't really pay it. I just drink. You know, I admit it. That's why my posts on Football Razzball are so much different than my baseball posts, because I drink when I write on the football stuff. So.
Yeah, absolutely. Nothing like a little Jameson on Sundays.
Yeah, so much. Whoa. Because I'm a Charger fan, too. So much drinking.
All right. Listen, I don't want to talk too much about the Trent Richardson trade, because now it's a bit old news. But let's talk about some of the fallout, specifically what happened with Josh Gordon and Cameron yesterday. Look, obviously that passing attack isn't going to be that high octane, but man, I just saying, Josh Gordon, that was my guy all preseason.
Yeah, I mean, Gordon, Sanu, Cameron, they seem to be the big targets now. I mean, I know there's a flourish of people picking on McGahee and Rainey, and they just looked terrible. I mean, I think Ogbonnaya, and Gordon seemed to be there.
Hey, there's the Nigerian
right.
prince.
They want your checking account number, by the way. But, yeah, they seem to be the top rushing threats, which is worrisome since they're also your wide receivers. So, their rushing seems to be in a state of flux. I don't know what to think of it. It looks like they're just going to go pass heavy for a while since the rushing game looks non-existent. I mean, when you're relying on fondly old baby-making machine Willis McGahee, I don't know what you can do. So I still don't trust Hoynes. I mean, he had 3 touchdowns, but he also had 3 interceptions. I think that's pretty much the norm of what you're going to get out of him. But yeah, I do like Cameron, and I do like Gordon. It looks like those guys are going to be the targets. So
19 targets for Josh Gordon yesterday.
Yeah, he looked almost like Antonio Brown from last night. So I'm still having faith in those guys. They'll get their catches, but pretty much the rest of the team is a barren wasteland.
Okay, let's talk on the Patriots really quick, because what a mess. I mean, I know they won, but for fantasy purposes, what a cluster bomb.
I know.
Real quick, hopefully Gronkowski comes back. If you have Tom Brady, which I do, I think actually in the Razzball Writers League, is he going to be okay?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, these poor Boston sports fans, they have to deal with so much, don't they? I mean, Tom Brady, he's made a career out of throwing to guys like, you know, David Patton, Charles Johnson, Givens, Tate. I don't even know who these guys are anymore. I had to look them up because I forgot who his wide receivers are, you know, over the course of the Patriots, whatever you want to call it, the dynasty that they had. And every time you watch Brady, it looks like he wants to murder his receivers on television. But, you know, I think yesterday we saw Kembrell Tompkins and Aaron Dobson sort of, I don't know if I want to call it emerging, but they actually did what wide receivers should do, which is receive. As you said, Gronk should be on his way back. And I guess the point is Tom Brady has done much more with much less, so I'm willing to give him the benefit of the doubt. We are still in probably small sample size territory. So I'm thinking he'll be fine. I don't see any reason not to trust him. The Patriots are probably a week 3-0 team, but it's Tom Brady. I think he'll be there.
All right, I want to talk about Ryan Matthews and your Chargers, but first, let's take a look at who Sky is liking this week.
Oh, please pick me, Sky. Please, pretty please. You have seen me from behind, haven't you?
Hi, everyone. This is Sky. You can find me on Twitter at Sky_Razzball, and I'm here to comb over a few guys that look like good pickups for this week and for future. The first one would be Ryan Broyles. He's 21% owned in Yahoo Leagues. He started off the season not playing very much. He's still rehabbing and getting himself back into playing shape after going out late in the season with CL injuries. We'll just call it that. And it's been a lack of health, not skill, that he hasn't been playing. But he got 3 passes for 34 yards on Sunday, and moving forward, I can't see them not increasing his playing time. Next up, we've got Brandon Bolden. I already talked about him on the website. I might have even suggested him last week as a waiver wire pickup, but after 100 yard total yards of offense on Sunday, he's definitely a guy you're going to want to go out and grab now if you didn't the first time around, and he's only 1% owned. Isaiah Pede from the Rams, 13% owned. Daryl Richardson, he did play, but he had a foot injury to start the week, and he got it stepped on early on in the game, so he was pretty much out the rest of the way. He got 13 touches, 7 of which were receptions. It's a Thursday night game this week. I can't see how Daryl Richardson's going to be able to step in and carry the load if he starts at all. Pete's definitely a pickup. Another guy, Heath Miller. Similar to Ryan Broyles, it's not skill that he hasn't been playing. It's injury. This might be a slower developing one to roll with here. But if you're really in need of tight end help, and you can sit on him for a little bit until he gets himself back into game shape and back into playing, he's definitely a good pickup. And the final one here is Jordan Reed, another tight end for the Washington Redskins, only 4% owned. He left the game on Sunday with a leg contusion. I have no idea how long that will take to heal from, but it's clear that Fred Davis is not 100% and ready to be out there. Jordan Reed is, as long as he's fine in terms of this injury. With that, let's close up shop.
The Razzball Podcast.
San Diego Superchargers, Ryan Matthews. What's going on?
Yeah, you know, the thing with Ryan Matthews, after 3 games, I think we're seeing how he's going to be used, and it's probably not good. He's being used as first and second down back, but only strictly in between the 20s. So what you're not seeing is the receptions. I mean, he was never really a big pass-catch threat. He's not getting the dump-offs, though, either. That's what Woodhead's being used for. There's no red zone opportunities and third down carries because that's what Ronnie Brown has been used for. So when you get down to it, you have a flex option, which really doesn't do you much good. He's getting, like, maybe, I think what he does for the rest of the year is probably 10 to 15 carries, 50, 65 yards, maybe a touchdown every other week. I mean, I'm not seeing what everyone else saw. I mean, I know in the preseason I loved him, but, you know, again, that's shrouded by homerism love. I love everyone on the Chargers. You know, I love their defense, for God's sakes. I'm actually starting their defense no matter what in all the RCL leagues just because I love them. It's ridiculous because it's the only thing that's holding me back. So
That's the only thing holding you back.
Right.
But that, oh, you were talking fantasy football. Sorry.
But that's the thing. I could never draft Ryan Matthews this year because people were drafting him in the 4th, 5th round as a sleeper pick. But it's ridiculous. Last year he was drafted in the same place. There was no penalty for the terrible year he had last year, and people were just still high on him. As we're seeing this year, they still don't trust him. I think against the Houston Texans on opening month, I was drinking heavily. I think he fumbled on the goal line again, and pretty much after that, you don't see him. I mean, they didn't pull a David Wilson on him. They still give him the ball, but I don't trust the guy on the goal line. So, and obviously, he's not a good flex play right now. I'd rather have Bernard Pierce, you know?
Okay, and let's go right into Bernard Pierce, one of my preseason faves. He didn't have a great yard per carry, but, you know, he was going up against a really tough Houston run defense, did get the score. I still like Bernard Pierce going forward. Ray Rice is not done, but if you told me tomorrow that Ray Rice was going to have nagging injuries and, you know, Pierce, I don't know. I think Pierce is a runner. He's got a great future. In all my keeper dynasty leagues, I'm trying to get a slice of Bernard Pierce.
Yeah, you know, I don't like to wish injury on anyone, but going back on it, the fact that we were kind of meh on Ray Rice in the preseason kind of makes up for the fact that we're so high on Spiller, you know, and we told everyone to pick up Pierce whenever you can as that handcuff. And it just does not look like a Ray Rice year for this season. He's completely disenchanted fantasy owner so far, and I know the injury isn't his fault, but even before that, he looked terrible. And at least Pierce, he may not get you the big stats, but he's gonna grind out some points for you. So at least there's that.
All right, since now you've taken over the new title of Vice President of Segways, let's go to C.J. Spiller. Obviously, knee injury, at this point they're saying it's not too big of a deal. I still think if he's healthy, he's an X factor, but Fred Jackson getting a lot of burn for Buffalo.
Yeah, you know, the problem is, even before the knee injury happened yesterday, I think it was somewhere around the half, he looked really, really ineffective. He had 9 carries of 9 yards. I mean, Jesus Christ. Until we see it, I mean, we really whiffed on this one. Luckily for me, I was never able to draft him in any league just because he went so far, you know, he went so high. But he still has that potential. I mean, I'm not Xing him out for the rest of the year, but it looks like right now Fred Jackson and Tashard Choice become the guys, depending on the knee injury. So, I mean, we'll see how major that is. I guess what you're saying is you've seen that it's not going to be too big, but I'm worried.
He better be okay, because if not, in my Dynasty League, I'm going to be starting Andre Ellington next week.
Yeah, no, I hear you.
Hey, real quick, Tampa Bay, other than Doug Martin, is anyone ownable there?
No, absolutely not. I mean, that team's a mess. There are several teams that we've seen so far that look like a mess. You know, the Giants look like the derpiest team I've ever seen in my life. The Steelers, they've looked incompetent in all facets of the game. I mean, the only thing you can take away as a bright spot for them is that Polamalu has yet to get injured in 3 games. That's the only bright spot. And Tampa Bay, they're a mess. I don't think Shiano Last. Josh Freeman looks lost. Granted, they played some tough games, but you know, I think we talked about this in the preseason too. I thought they were going to go 2-6 in the first half, and they might even be worse than that. So
I thought they'd be better. I thought the defense would carry them. I really did. I actually streamed the defense even against New England yesterday. Although I was figuring with Gronk not there, it was a good stream option. But maybe I should have started the San Diego defense instead.
Yeah, the big 3 points, baby.
Hey Jay, listen. Thanks for joining us, but real important, I know you're down in the Beltway there, Northern Virginia. We're doing a big hockey podcast. It's the Razzball Hockey Preview. So I know you're a big Washington Capitals fan. You definitely want to, I want you to download it twice from two different IP addresses. Got it?
Yeah, I have no idea what hockey is. What is this hockey system?
It's football, except faster.
Okay. I'll take your word for it. But yeah, I'll listen to it.
Plus they carry clubs, man. They got blades on their feet, and they're skating around at 60 miles an hour with clubs.
Yeah, when I'm going through my Nick withdrawals, I'll be sure to keep my head open for it.
Hey, say hi to all those girls you're picking up on Match.com. By the way, if you get any trophy shots, you're welcome to text me. And don't forget, you can always have a second phone to record those Snapchats.
Yeah, I don't think it's that robust, my life right now, my love life. Not robust at all. I'm not even sure if she's going to call me back.
Again, the problem is you're dating these emo chicks in D.C. That's the problem.
Yeah, it's not plural, Nick. It's just one, and I'm not even sure if it's dating. So,
Jay, thanks for joining us, buddy. We'll talk to you next Monday on the next Razzball Football Podcast.
Thanks for having me, Nick. You take care.
Get out of here.
Show might make your muscles start to spasm. It may even cause some of you to orgasm.
It's the Razzball Podcast. You need fantasy help.
Well, we think you prefer us. We rock the mic so hard we should ride in the tour bus. Make you shoot all down your leg like your Plaxico Burris.
It's the Razzball Podcast. It's the Razzball Podcast. It's the Razzball Podcast. It's the Razzball Podcast.
It's Razzball, baby.